This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. All right. A couple people growing weary already, but thank you. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. Fifth Sunday, New Year. That's great. Can I do a favor for me? I hope you'll allow me. You've given us today. God, I thank you for the Spirit moving in this place today. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place today. We never want to bar you from this place. You are welcome here today. I pray that the Spirit of God moves in this place today in a way that we haven't seen in a long time. Some of us may never have experienced that before. God, whether it's just yelling and shouting or quiet and subdued, that the Spirit of God can move in each and every one of us in a special way. I pray the message today, Lord, just reaches the people, and the message that you have for them, that you've given me to be the mouthpiece for your word today, reaches the congregation today, Lord. Lord, I ask you to bless our fellowship today as well, but bless this message today that it ministers to the people where they are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, thank you for that thing. I want to start out the year by being obedient, of course. So, New Year, what do? Often we go to the gym, we start some gym memberships, we have an exercise plan, we develop one. We may not have done anything with it, but we try and develop one. Maybe finances. Hey, we're going to fix our finances this year. I'm going to start a diet. I'm going to get fit. I'm going to do these things. Spiritual fixes. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to read 100 pages a day before I quit, and, you know, all those crazy things that we try and do, or I'll give up all this stuff. Sometimes we can give up things cold turkey. Sometimes we can't. But all those things have something in common. Oh, relationship fixes. Let's not forget that. I'm going to be nicer to my children this year. Hey, this year I'm going to teach them how to be nicer to me. I'm going to teach my spouse how to respect me. Oh, well, she's going to teach me how to respect her. All those things. So we have relationship fixes, finance fixes, spiritual fixes, all these different things that we want to do. And they all have one thing in common. After about the first month, certainly by the second month, statistics say those plans fail. We quit going to the gym. They've got their money. They're getting their money, all that stuff, but we never saw it again. We talked quite some time ago about the treadmills that have become clothes hangers in our closets, and our cross that we pick up daily and carry is now a clothes hanger also, and those different things. So we want to try and get different things. Do not grow weary is today's message. Do not grow weary. And it's so easy to grow weary in today's society, in the Western culture especially. Other places, they don't get tied up in all these things, but we get tied up in all these different things and activities. My kids aren't anything if they're not in all these 10,000 activities. And lo and behold, you don't have time to get a good night's sleep. For us older folks, that's me. Us older folks, Saturday night was the night we went to bed early. We came in, we got these nice scrub-a-dub-dub baths. We were ready for church the next day. We got in bed early so we could be rested for church. And nowadays, it's just another night to party late. I don't have any work. I can stay out. Let's do all these things. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 18 today. Coincidentally, I heard one of our members talking about praying, and he said, I just followed Luke 18. And I thought, well, what a coincidence. We're going to be preaching on that today. So Luke chapter 18, if you would. We want to keep from setting a plan and failing. We want to keep from setting a plan and growing weary. And I'm going to hopefully help you with that today. The Spirit of God moves in this place, and the Spirit of God will hold a bookmark in your mind saying, this is what I need to do to get better in these areas. So Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. If you have your Bibles and you're able to underline that without feeling like you're defiling the Word of God, underline that. Do not lose heart. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Sorry, I get confused sometimes. Let me just change my notes so I don't do that. I did that a few times before. I'm sorry. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. And I think those two things are important as we'll come back and look at it. Now there was a widow in that city as well, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he will really find faith on the earth. So here's a judge, and he doesn't fear God. That's one thing. That's a mistake in itself, not to fear God. But what else does he say? Nor does he regard man. He didn't care what man thought of him either. Now this judge could represent corrupt people. This judge could represent people in our life that just aren't nice to us. They're corrupt, nor do they regard man. They're just mean people. And they can bring us down. They can weary us. But he says this widow was there and came continually. And that's where we want to focus. She came continually to him saying, I need some help. We don't know if it was financial help or whatever. But Jesus had a special place. God has a special place for widows that they're to be taken care of. So he came to the judge and he wouldn't do anything for her. But finally, after coming repeatedly, he says, not because, and he made it very clear, not because I fear God, nor do I regard man. Not for that reason. I want to make it very clear. Not for that reason am I going to take care of her. But just because she wears me out with a constant plea. And then Jesus comes back in the parable and says, hear what the unjust judge said. He's going to take care of her. What more is God going to do for us with his own people when they cry out day and night? And I'm telling you, there's people here today that you have prayed and you have prayed and you have prayed. And you're thinking, man, it'll never happen. God also says, pray continually. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. Maybe for a lost loved one. Maybe for a health reason. Maybe for a financial reason, a relationship reason. Continue to pray. By a show of hands, how many of you have ever had a prayer answered? Raise your hand. All right. How many of you, by a show of hands, had that prayer answered, but you had to pray more than once for it? Okay, continual prayer. Continual prayer. It may be the second time around. Maybe the third time around. It may be the 50th year around. And God says, continue praying. Continue praying. Shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with him? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on that day? So the judge is not a nice guy. The woman comes to him trying to have resolve for her issue. And then the judge comes back and says, I'll take care of this stuff. I will do this. But look closely at those last things in verse 8 that he says. When the Son of Man comes, it doesn't say he will find faith on earth. It says, will he really find faith on earth? When we look at these things, is he going to find faith on earth? Persecution comes to the Christians. It comes for our faith. And when we do those things, it can take away our enthusiasm. It can take away our excitement. Maybe you know somebody like that. Maybe they're family members. They suck the life out of your excitement. Hey, guess what this? Well, how are you going to do that? It'll never. And they suck the life out of you. The same thing happens to Christians by non-Christians or by poor thinking and taught Christians. And they can suck the life out of you. And Jesus is saying, believers, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Continue to pray. Press on. We've read those different scriptures. You've got to press on and keep doing these things. Do not give up in your prayer request. So there's two things out of that verse. Number one, pray. Continue in prayer. Number two, when you do that, do not grow weary. It's very easy to grow weary. Some grow weary coming to church. Look at the empty chairs. They grow weary. Well, I work 5 days, maybe 6 days, in some cases 7 days, and I grow weary of church. Let me tell you what, I'm trying to do a little exercise and it's not easy and it's not consistent and it's not showing. My twin brother came by my job Friday. And as I walked around, he was saying hi to people and some people he's known for years. And I was amazed how many people said, "Hey, Adam, you lost weight." So the plan is not working for me. But one of the things I try and do is go with my daughter and my son and my son-in-law. And what I find then is that encouragement or that pushing or that driving me to do more, to do better, to not quit. What I found when I went the last couple times all by myself, well, that's long enough. I found it very easy to quit. And let me tell you, when you stay at home and try and do things on your own, it's a whole lot easier to quit and give up. And when you come here and gather together with other believers, and I know some days are tough. And I know some days are tough. And they're very difficult to get through things. But when you come and surround yourself with other believers, at least you're in a group of people that love you and care about you. And that's why I love this church. Pray continually and do not grow weary. Paul says in Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. That's Colossians 4:2. Keep that handy if you grow weary. Continue earnestly in prayer. So what does he say again? Number one, pray. Number two, don't grow weary. We don't want you to give up on those things. If you have your Bibles with you, turn over to, I was going to say page 1980, to Galatians chapter 6. And it's a very familiar verse. But it ties in, of course, with what we're talking about today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. And it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not," there's that phrase again, "lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So Paul is in the churches talking about them, and he says, do these things. And then here we are, it's 3 or 4 years later, and Paul is in Galatia talking to different churches, and he's telling them the same thing. By the way, continue praying. Do not lose heart. Let us not grow weary. So Paul's got the same message. Those of you that think, seems like you guys kind of preach the same thing. Well, so did Paul. So did Jesus. I mean, he's walking around churches going, guys, we've been through this already. We've been through this. Continue to pray and don't get weary. That's why he's writing letters going, guys, again, really? I've got to write this letter. Now I'm going to come visit you. Then a couple years later, he's going down the road to his next set of churches in Galatia, and it's the same message. It's the same thing. Do not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. There's a connection. Don't lose heart. You won't grow weary. Therefore, as we have opportunity to do good, especially do good to all, it says. That's a tough thing for some of us. Myself included sometimes, do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. Same thing, pray, do not grow weary. That's great. By the way, when he says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, those works, by the way, just for clarification, they don't justify you. They don't sanctify you, but it is fruit of who we are as Christians. And the Word tells us, hey, we've got to bear fruit. Well, fruit is doing good works for all. But this book talks about faith versus works. And so those works, those good deeds that we do, are not going to get us into heaven. And those don't justify us, sanctify us, set us apart in any way. It's just a fruit of who and what we are as Christians. We're called to serve one another in the faith. And we're called to serve those outside of the faith as well. That's a great thing. Fruit of our spirit. There's several fruits of our spirit. And just fruits of our faith as well. And we've got to remember those things. I always love when I go into children's church and they've been taught that. They've been seeing that. Right now I think they're talking about the armor of God and some of the other smaller classes. And those things are telling them and showing them what they need to grow up in the Christian faith. What we have at our disposal. Great. So Paul's going down the road a couple years later. Let's turn to Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And in case you're wondering, yes, Paul's going to be preaching the same message there. It's Thessalonica. Because we need those constant reminders. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I'm going to read a little more than I planned on reading, but I like what this says, so that's why I've gone ahead and said I want to read more. In the very beginning, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Finally, brethren, pray. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all have faith." We've got to remember that when we're out there working in the world, when we're out there driving, when we're in the store, in the line at the store, when we're in our schools, we're not surrounded by Christians everywhere we go. And we may be misguided and think, why are they treating me like that? They should be nicer to me. They may not know God. They may not have had that upbringing. But you that have, and you that have heard the word, his word also says, why are you acting like that? You know better. So we don't have a reason, but we're not surrounded by Christians everywhere we go. For not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. And then here's the part that really sets this tone. It talks about being idle and not doing things. And it says, "But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received for us or from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us." In other words, they came in there and didn't want to be a burden on them and say, "I have the authority, I'm here preaching the word of God, I can just live scot-free with you guys." No, they wanted to work and earn their keep there as well. "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through Jesus Christ our Lord that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note the person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So here he's saying the same thing. The very beginning says, pray. Pray for us, brethren. And then he goes over in verse 13 says, but as for you, do not grow weary in doing good. Why is it so easy to grow weary in doing good? Well, nobody appreciates me and nobody thanks me. I recall the Bible saying, don't do anything for your own gain and your own glory. Do it as though unto the Lord. Give Him the honor. Give Him the glory. And we forget that so easy because we want to be recognized by man. They didn't recognize me. Or they recognized somebody else but not me. As Christians, God tells us do these things because it's the right thing to do. Not necessarily because somebody else deserves it, but because it is our personal best and our personal thing that we do and say, this is our character. This is my character. This is personal to me and how I act. Not because they deserve it necessarily. Lord, think if we got what we deserve. Eric's father last week said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great. How are you? He said, better than I deserve. And he said, what if we all got what we deserve? I said, I don't want to think about that, Bob. Don't want to think about that. He said, I know. That's what church is about, reminding us of those things. In Thessalonica, same thing. A couple years later. Pray and do not grow weary. We'll close with this in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. In the beginning, talks about running the race. Endurance. And in verse 3, it says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. When we're discouraged, how often do we think about the price Jesus Christ paid? Hanging on the cross, being beaten before that, made to carry his own cross. Adam, I want to thank you for telling me not to grow weary. Now, how in the world do I do it? Number one, you do it with the encouragement of other people. The book of Hebrews also tells us, do not forsake the gathering. Come together with other believers. You've got to watch who you follow, by the way. I was at the stoplight, and I love this road closed business because I see humanity at its craziest. So there's a lady in the right turn lane, got her blinker on. I'm in the straight lane, coming down this way to church the other night, just stopping by. Light turns green and I take off straight through the intersection, around the road closed sign. What did she do? Oh, he's going. I guess it's open. She follows me. I pull in, go about my business in the church, and she didn't know what to do, let alone could find the entrance to this place or anywhere else to turn around. So she turns around in the middle of the street and goes on her way. But I thought, you've got to be careful who you're following. She just said, I guess he knows what he's doing. Which in that situation I did. But it wasn't what she was doing and it wasn't where she was going. So we have to watch who we follow. Watch who you follow. You can't go wrong with following Jesus Christ. And he says, pray and don't give up. Just like the widow where we started in Luke chapter 18, where she continually went, pleading her case. God hears those things. He hears you crying day and night, it says. And he'll answer those prayers. Now again, we've got our stopwatch on. We want it answered 30 seconds ago. But God says, I'm going to take care of this. And by the way, in the end, when the Son of Man comes, that's when all justice will be taken care of. And that's all we need to worry about. So how do I keep from growing weary? There's three different scriptures I'm going to give you. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew your mind daily. Get in the Word. Get some scripture. Do something. Don't sit down and think, I've got to be one of those people that have a spiritual growth plan for 2016. I'm going to read 3 chapters a day. Read something every day. Second scripture is Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And it says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You keep from growing weary by following Jesus Christ daily. You can't do it by following him once a week or once a month. And the third scripture is where we are in Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 12 through 15. And it says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. But listen closely to this. Verse 14. Pursue peace. With who? With all people. Pursue peace with all people and holiness. Why? Without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Keep from growing weary by renewing your mind. Do not be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind every day. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. So we've got to deny ourselves every day. And if you're like me, it has to be multiple times during the day. You have to deny yourself. And that's a hard habit to get into. Take up your cross every day and follow me. And remember where you set it down throughout the day, because you're going to have to go back and pick it back up where you left it. And I'm telling you, I set mine down many times during the day, and I have to go back and pick that thing up. And when you pick it back up, it hurts, because you got to walk past those people that you harmed when you set it down. But when you do that, you grow. Do not grow weary. Continue in prayer and do not give up. And do not grow weary when doing good. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, when we forget, help remind us of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did on the cross and before going to the cross. Remind us of what that bloodshed means to us. God, like Esau, who wanted forgiveness but wouldn't repent, would you help us to repent? Separate from saying, I'm sorry, that's one step, but repentance is a final step in our sin. God, for this church, my desire is that we see sin for what it is, alive and well in our lives, where it has no place being. Help us not to feed and water that sin, but to recognize it and rid ourselves of it. Lord, help us not to judge one another, but just to look at ourselves. Help us not to make an improvement plan for others, but an improvement plan for ourselves. that includes you and your word, the study of your word, the gathering with your people. God, help give this church a desire to seek you and to seek your word and to understand and know your word. God, where people today are struggling and suffering with finances, Lord, would you help them? Lord, in relationship issues, would you see them and help them? Lord, in health issues, would you see them and help them? Lord, those that have called your name day and night, many who have cried when they call on you, would you help give them strength and energy? Give them boldness not to give up? God, for those who feel like they are alone and doing this all alone, would you show yourself strong to them? Lord, would you help us as a congregation, as a church family and a church body, to recognize those people and to step in and help, whether it's through a kind word or a simple hug or a touch of love. Would you help us? God, we thank you for this new year, this new beginning. We ask you to give us renewed excitement and energy each and every week and each and every day. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.